and friends to worship this morning. And this morning we're just about done with our series, All In. I can hardly believe it. Feels like we just started this series, but we actually started at the end of August. And so today we're getting close to the end. We'll have one more message next week. But in this time together, we're just trying to find different ways, six different practices, to help us get some traction with our vision. And our vision is what? Enjoying God, loving each other, and blessing our neighbors. So let's say that together. It's enjoying God, loving each other, and blessing our neighbors. So we're trying to find some ways, you know, how do we get traction with that? And so we have these six shared practices that we're talking about as we go through here. Daily time with God, weekend worship together, small group community, and being in small group community, serving in love. We talked about that last week, giving our gifts away to one another. Today we're going to talk about generosity through giving, everyone's favorite message and the pastor's favorite message to preach on. It's a good thing because it's part of our discipleship, right? And then going to our neighbors and the nations will be next week, and we'll round out. But these are six actually spiritual practices or disciplines that we can walk in. And today we're going to talk about generosity by giving. And, you know, generosity is really a journey, right? It's like any spiritual discipline in our life. It's like reading the Bible. It's like praying. It's like coming to worship. We grow and grow and grow as we exercise that and as we take next steps with it. And so I want to talk to you this morning about a couple of different passages of Scripture. But the main one I want to start off with, the one that was just read for us, because in it, Jesus gives us kind of this dichotomy between motivations when it comes to giving. And he gives us two different motivations that come. So Jesus is teaching us that the generosity journey has a compelling motivation to it, okay? And then he shows us the first people and why they're motivated to give, and how they're motivated to give. And he talks about how they're in the marketplace, and it actually uses a word here in Luke 20, 45 through 47. It says, Jesus says, they kind of trumpet themselves. Their motivation in giving, in ministering, in being in the temple and in the marketplace and being, you know, giving back is for them to trumpet themselves. And we're going to go into in a couple of minutes why he probably used this term. They're trumpeting themselves. When it comes to giving, we have to ask ourselves, are we sounding a trumpet for ourselves? Are we trying to build our own reputation, whether anybody else knows what we give or not? Are we trying to build ourselves up, or are we giving to God and his kingdom? Are we motivated to help the kingdom come from heaven to earth through our gifts and what we give back to God? Jesus offers this contrast in the next couple words to the disciples when he says, while Jesus was standing at the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box, and then a poor widow came by. She dropped in two small coins, and he said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than the rest of them, for they have given a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor she is, she has given everything. Now, I got to tell you, I find it kind of creepy that Jesus is standing watching the offering boxes. Now think about it. This morning, we have offering boxes here. We're very biblical here at Mount Joy. We have offering boxes, right? And so we have a couple offering boxes here this morning. What if one of the elders or pastors or someone who teaches the next step class just stood by the box this morning, just kind of watched what everybody was doing? Wouldn't you think that was just a little bit creepy, a little bit weird? So here's Jesus. He's in the temple courts, and he's watching these boxes. And I want to give you just a little bit of background about why he probably used this term. They're trumpeting themselves, or they're giving to God fully. So they're trumpeting themselves and this motivation. So in the court of women, there were 13 offering boxes, 13 offering boxes around there to give to. And that's where they were at. And so that's why we say offering boxes are biblical. Can we say that? Offering boxes are biblical. It doesn't matter what form or how we take up the offering, right? It doesn't matter if you give online or you put it in the offering box or if we pass the plate. There's no biblical form or way of collecting that offering, right?
Right.
And so this is the way they collected the offering. They had these boxes, and I'm going to show you an artist's rendition of what the box might have looked like in just a minute. They were located in the court of women, and there were 13 of them there. If you remember this, when the Israelites would come to worship, they would sound a trumpet that was made out of a ram's horn. So something called a shofar, right? So they would sound the shofar trumpet. So when they're using this term trumpet, they're referring to a shofar. So I asked my daughter, who's a bit of an artist, a couple years ago, I said, you know, I can't find any, everybody talks about, there's a couple different commentaries that talks about these offering boxes and them having this trumpet in the top, and some people say it looked like a shofar. You know, what did it look like? So I gave her kind of an explanation of it, and she drew this for me, okay? So the offering box would have been wooden at the bottom. It collected in the back, would have had a door or something in it where they could have taken the collection out. But then at the top, it had a ram's horn, but the ram's horn wasn't a regular ram's horn. It would have been made out of something metallic. And so when they dropped their coins in the shofar, it would have made or sounded or trumpeted, as Jesus said, it would have made a large sound. So as rich people are coming through and they've got a lot of coin in their hand, even if it was only a little portion of what they had, when they dropped it in the box, what? It would have sounded out. Now, the original intention of that was when they gave an offering and they sounded out, it was to give worship to God. We're giving back to God. But what Jesus is saying, as they're giving, they're trumpeting themselves. Their motivation for giving is to build up their own reputation or their own feeling good inside about how they're giving back to God and they're giving back by doing this. So they're dropping it in and trumpeting themselves. And then Jesus notes that there's this widow who comes by who has like two or three small coins. The small coins that she had in her hand were all that she had to live on. We don't know if that's what she began to live on or what she ended. We don't know where she got it from. But we do know this, that the temple often provided alms for the poor or widows. So it could have been that part of her offering or all of her offering was given to her as a subsidiary from the temple for her to live on. And that she's just returning it back. And she's dropping it all back in. But when she drops it back in, what happens? It goes right down the middle. It doesn't clank from side to side. It doesn't trumpet her at all. It doesn't make one sound. So nobody notices and nobody hears anything, what? When the widow is giving. But Jesus says that her motivation for giving is more than that, because she's giving to give back to the kingdom of God, and she's giving back because she knows she's been given much by God and that God is looking after her and taking care of her. And so she's giving back to God. Her motivation for giving is to extend the kingdom, not build her reputation. And we always have to ask ourselves that.
So good.
In the journey of giving, whether it's our spiritual gifts, our financial gifts, our relationships, whatever we're giving back to God that he's given to us, because he gave us everything, right? Whatever we're giving back, whatever we're tithing back to God.
That's great.
A relationship, a spiritual gift, finances, whatever we're giving back to him, are we giving it back to build ourselves up for us to feel better or for others to know that we're giving it back? Or are we giving it back freely because freely we've been given, we've received, and freely we give it back to God.
That's right.
And we get to be part of his kingdom. We give because we get to give. I think the widow wanted to give because she got to give. I got something to give, and I'm giving it back. And so she drops it in there, and she's not trumpeting herself. She's giving to trumpet God and to give him glory through her giving and her gifts back to God. So some give to extend to sound their own trumpet, while others give to worship God and extend his kingdom from heaven to earth. We have a choice when we give. Do we give to enhance our reputation, or do we give to invest in the kingdom of God? What's our motivation when we're giving? Second part of the generosity journey is this. The generosity journey, it has a pathway for us to follow. The Bible gives us a good pathway to follow. And part of the generosity pathway is this, that we give proportionately, that we give rhythmically, and that we give cheerfully. Proportionate is this. God tells us to give a tithe, to bring back a tithe, which is 10%. I had someone ask me one time, do we know that people in the Old Testament actually gave the tithe or didn't give the tithe, or how much was? I said, well, actually, if you add up all that they gave, it was more than 10%. Because they tithed on the first fruits, and then they tithed on the whole. I mean, they ended up giving more than just 10%, than a tithe. Because they gave a couple different times during the harvest. They gave at the beginning of the harvest, then they gave at the end of the harvest. So it ended up being more than really 10%. But God, in his word, tells us, especially in Malachi 3:10, he says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, so there'll be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's army, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. This is the only time in Scripture where God says, put me to the test. Put me to the test. See if I'm not a generous. Because God is generous, amen? And generosity is really about reflecting him, right? It's not about embellishing us or building ourselves up. And when we give the way that God gives, we reflect him to the world around us and even to ourselves. And so God says to give a tenth, to give proportionately. And I think he does this because it helps everyone participate. If you think about it, if God just said, I want everyone to give 20 grand. I want everyone to give 20 grand. Well, it's like, what? I can't give 20 grand. Someone else might say, well, that's less than, you know, for me, that's less than 10%. I can give 20 grand or whatever. But so it's not about equal amounts. It's about equal what? Participation. God wants his people to equally participate in giving back to him. And the tithe is a way of reminding us that all that we have is from God's hand. And so we give back a portion to God. And every time we give that portion back to God, it reminds us everything we have comes from God's hand. Amen? Everything that we have comes from him. The tithe is a reminder for us that all we have is given to us by God. It's a reminder for us. It's not a tip for him. We're not tipping God. Right? I took some friends out to lunch this week, and I gave a tip at the end. You know, it's not like, oh, I need to tip God at the first day of the week. I just need to give him a tip. Thank you, God, for everything you gave me. Here's a tip back for you. Here's 10% back for you. Right? And we actually tip more on our meals than 10%, right? So it's not a tip back to God. Let's read this together, okay? The tithe is a reminder for us that all we have is given to us by God. It's a reminder for us. It's not a tip for God. It's not a tip for him. Okay? Yesterday, someone was asking me, and thank you for asking me about that. Someone asked me, how did the wedding go in your backyard? And we had a wedding in our backyard yesterday, and my niece got married. We were successful. We got Anna and Jake married, and we had a good time. We got everybody down to the creek and back up from the creek. We didn't lose anybody on the hillside. It's a little steep there. We had a couple of people who were in their 90s going down and back up. And so you're like, are we going to get them back up? Do we need a canoe and take them down and get them out later on? But that was great. And it kind of reminds you as we were there afterwards, we were just standing there. And then we went out to eat together. Everybody went out to eat together. And people were talking about their wedding day because it stirs up memories. And I, one person was saying they remembered there was one of the grandfathers who was there had done the wedding ceremony for him. So he said, I remember my wedding day. And he was giving the toast for his daughter. He said, I remember my wedding day. And your grandpa did my wedding sermon. And he said that giving his daughter away to me was like giving a Stradivarius to a gorilla. He said, I'll never forget that. I think he was right. When he handed over Beth to me, I didn't know what I was doing as a husband. And so he just said to his new son-in-law, he said, "I think you're the best gorilla to take care of my Stradivarius dog. I think you're the very best." And as I was sitting there remembering, Debbie and I were talking, we remembered one of the hymns that we sang, "Great is thy faithfulness." And we remember the words, and we're just recalling the words, "Great is thy faithfulness." Can you guys pull up that next slide? This is part of "Great is thy faithfulness." "All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Every week, God gives us the opportunity to bring a tithe to him. However we give it, if we give it electronically, if we put it in the biblical offering boxes that we have here, if we put it in an envelope and send it in or hand it in or bring it in, however we do that, God gives us the opportunity every week to give that portion back to him so that we can sing to him and praise him and say, "All I have needed, thy hand hath provided."
That's great.
"Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Proportionate giving helps us do that. Also, giving has this pathway. It's rhythmic. There's a rhythm to it, okay? 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, "On the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money that you've earned. Don't wait till I get there and try to collect it all at once." So Paul was taking up an offering, and he was telling them, be systematic about it. Be rhythmic about it. Somebody asked me one time, "Pastor, when should I tithe or when should I give?" And I said, "Well, when do you get an increase? When are you increased? In other words, when are you paid? Is that once a year, once a month, every other week, whatever? Whenever you take in whatever God has given you is when you should remember God's faithfulness, because God's giving you a rhythm then. That's a gift from him. So give back to him in that same rhythm, whatever it is." So Paul's given instructions about this, and he's saying, pick a rhythm, find a rhythm where you remember God's faithfulness in an ongoing way, over and over and over again. So give proportionately, give rhythmically, and then give cheerfully. At the end of 2 Corinthians 9:7, Paul says, "For God loves a person who gives cheerfully." Paul loves a person who's like that widow who drops everything in there and just says, "Great is your faithfulness to me, Lord. I'm giving all that I have back to you. I'm cheerfully, I get to give." The widow didn't say, "Well, I'm not giving anything. This is all I get. I only get a little bit. This is enough to sustain me." She just said, "I get to give." And so she gives cheerfully. There's nothing better than when we experience that joy of just giving freely back to God. When I was just a little guy growing up in my home, I got to the point where I could do some chores around the house. And my parents, for my chores around the house, my first allowance was $1 a week. $1 a week. Now, when that first started happening, I would say they were getting ripped off for the dollar a week. I was pretty young. I tried to do my chores, but sometimes I didn't quite get the dishes clean as I was supposed to get them, and I didn't quite get the grass trimmed the way it's supposed to go. And after a while, though, I got pretty good at that. So they were making out pretty good for that buck, you know. And but I got a dollar every week, and then that increased as I got a little bit older. Of my allowance. And your allowance was, you did your chores, you got your allowance. But this is the way my parents would do this. They would, every Sunday morning, my parents were usually gone because they volunteered at the church just down the street from us. And you could walk to the church. We lived in row homes, and the church was one block down the street. So they were usually gone. They made us some breakfast, but they usually went down to get their Sunday school class ready or do something in the church or helping out. They were volunteering down there, and we knew our way to get to church, and we knew that we had to get cleaned up and get there. But every Sunday morning, I would come down, and my breakfast would be there, and next to my breakfast would be the stack of coins. And there were three quarters, there was a dime, a nickel, and 10 pennies. And my dad had given me instruction for those 10 pennies. He said, "Now, when you get your allowance, you take it and you put what you want to in your bank, but you bring those 10 pennies to church with you every Sunday. and you put them in your pocket. And when you get to Sunday school, and we had a Sunday school kind of gathering, we had the preliminaries. Anybody remember when we had preliminaries before Sunday school? You know, yeah, we're going to just drag Sunday school out, you know. So the preliminaries were, there was singing and there was an offering. It was almost like its own service. And there were banks there. There were globes to put money in to give to missions. And I loved that. I had 10 pennies and I could decide how many pennies I wanted to put in the missionary bank and how many pennies I put into the other offering for local people who didn't have enough to eat and how many pennies I was going to save for big church in second hour and bring the big church and put it in the offering plate. So I got to do that. But my parents helped me see every week to give proportionately, rhythmically, and cheerfully. And I got to be part of that. I got to be part of giving, even as a little guy. And I got to be part of giving for something that I had worked for and that I had earned and giving back to my family. It was proportionate. It was rhythmic. It was cheerful. And I say, thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you, Phyllis and Leon, for helping me learn how to do that. Because to this day, I feel like when I get to give, I get to be part of giving. I get to plan it. I get to have a rhythm in my life. And I'm growing and continuing to grow in my journey of giving. But it started when I was just a little boy. And I would say to you parents this morning, if you can find some way to do that with your kids and embed that kind of thing in your kids, I'm not saying give them the stack of coins. I'm not saying only give them a dollar a week and make them really work hard around the house. But what I'm saying is find some way of them being involved in giving and training. It's part of discipleship. Amen?
That's right.
Part of discipleship to do that and to give back to God in that way. So the generosity journey also, it has a next step to take. There's always a next step to take in our generosity journey. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each person must decide in their heart how much to give. Each person must decide in their heart how much they're going to give, how much they're going to be part of this. And so you need to ask yourself, we all need to ask ourselves, what is the next step in our generosity journey? What's the next step in my journey? Is the next step in my journey a first-time gift? Maybe I've never given before and I'm new to this and I just want to give a first-time gift. Maybe that's your thing to do and you want to give a first-time gift to God and to your church family to extend his kingdom. Maybe you want to start giving regularly and you want to start some portion or proportion of that and you want to give rhythmically and you want to give cheerfully and want to do that. Maybe you're someone who's been doing that, but you say, hey, I want to take this next step and I want to start tithing and I really want to try that. I'm going to do that till the end of this year. I'm going to start just tithing and that's my next step in doing that. And maybe there's some of you, you've been tithing for years and years and years and you're kind of like me, but every once in a while, God blesses you, and you're like, hey, I want to give a gift above and beyond my tithe. When I was a kid in our church, they taught us tithes, gifts, and offerings. You know, bring your tithe, bring a gift every once in a while, and then once in a while, there would be a special offering for that. And there were three different ways to give in our church, tithes, gifts, and offerings. So maybe you want to take a step beyond that. I don't know what your next step is. I just know there's a next step for all of us in the journey, right? Amen?
Amen.
There's a next step for every one of us in this journey of giving back to God. One of the things that I became aware of in coming on staff here and working with you guys in the last year is a group called Everence. How many of you are familiar with Everence? And you see some of the things that we send out. We often will send you out some stuff now in the local or the weekly update or whatever we'll send you out. But one of the things they're offering is a great course called Freed Up. And it's a one-hour online course each Monday night starting on October 7th. And I want you just to watch this video, this short video, about the course this morning, because this may be the next step for you. You don't have a video? Okay, just watch me. We will send you the video this week. In the weekly update, because it's really good. It's about a three-minute video. And the gal just tells her own story about how, hey, it's not just giving that's part of our finances, right? So maybe you're out there this morning, you say, I want to take the next step, but I have a hard time doing that because I just don't have a plan for the rest of my finances. I don't have a good spending plan. I don't have a good savings plan. I don't have a good earning. And so if you take the Freed Up course, you can learn all about your finances. And you can do it in an hour online for a number of these sessions. How many sessions are there? It's October 7th through the 18th. So I think there's 7-8 sessions there. And so I would encourage you, especially if you're saying, oh, I just can't get there, and you need to learn more overall about your finances, take this course, the Freed Up course, and we'll send you the video this week. I'm sorry. I probably didn't get that out to the right folks this week, but you'll get it this week. I want us just to close this morning, and I want us to close this morning by reciting our all-in prayer. The all-in prayer is about us as a church family, each individually, but then corporately saying, hey, we're all in on this journey with Jesus. And part of this journey is giving back to God. That's one of the disciplines. That's one of the spiritual practices. It's just giving back to God. And so I'd like us just to recite this prayer together this morning, just starting with Lord Jesus. Let's just recite it together. Lord Jesus, empower us to be all in as a church family. During the season of new beginnings, help us to live together by reaching up, enjoying you, by reaching in, loving each other, and by reaching out, blessing our neighbors. Help us nurture an environment of belonging and becoming that builds us up and attracts our neighbors to you. Amen. Now let me pray a prayer of blessing over you. Lord, I pray today that your word that we've all heard this morning will be a blessing to people, that they'll be encouraged and motivated to give back to you, just like the widow was, to be motivated to say, I get to give.
Yes, Lord.
Everything I hold in my hand is a gift from God. The people, the relationships, the gifts, the abilities, the job that I have, the home that I live in, the money that God provides for me to live on. Everything is a gift from God. And so, Lord, I pray for Mount Joy Mennonite Church just to be a place where everybody's growing. Everybody's growing in this giving journey back to you, this generosity journey. And that generosity isn't something we just do with our finances, but we do with our whole life. We're a generous people with our whole life. I thank you that you've already knit this together into the Mount Joy family, but I pray that you would make it even more and more and more part of this church family as we give and we're generous in our hearts toward God. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven to the Mount Joy family. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Joel, for those words. And I'm reminded that God has generously blessed this church. He's generously blessed me as an individual. And I